Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn back to the Gospel of John as we continue our series discussing the I Am topics that Jesus covered. Before we get into that, I do want to make one announcement, if y'all bear with me. I'm wanting to do the question and answering time again Sunday nights in July. All right. I've had several requests for this to go back and do this style in this format. And so I decided to do it this summer. If you are interested, what it is it's an opportunity for you to ask questions that you don't understand or don't get. You can turn those in. They're cards on this half wall and this half wall. And on the back, it just have a spot for questions. And you turn those in. I'm not going to answer them immediately. I'm going to study them, go back, see if I can answer those questions as effectively as possible in that. So the announcement is these cards are on the half table, half walls beside me if you're interested in asking a question. And then you'll have to show up every Sunday that month because I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to answer your question. I'm just going to make you wait and see and show up more and more and more. All right, so that is the one announcement that I want to give in this morning. Every time that I do a baptism, it reminds me of a young man that I baptized in Sampson, Alabama, called Zach. And it was probably one of those moments where, you know, I could have taken that I'm just not designed to be a pastor. But I fought through it anyway. And I remember at our last church, at the last Piney Grove that I served at, the baptism was a lot different than this one. There was only one set of steps, and so the back was just a solid wall. We had no seat, which if you've ever baptized anybody, seat is where you is the way to go with it. And so Zach comes into the baptism, and Zach is taller than I am. And so if you could imagine, I'm standing here, and Zach is standing here, and I told him to bend his knees, and he didn't bend his knees. And so when I went back, he went all the way to the back of the baptism and smashed his head on the wall. And the worst part is I couldn't get his head underwater. And I'm Baptist. I believe in full submersion. And he's got this little spot on his forehead that won't go underwater. And I remember I held him there so long trying to get his head under that he opened his eyes and he looked at me like, what are you doing? Because and Zach was 99% Baptist and 1% Methodist because I splashed a little bit of water on his forehead and brought him back up. And so bless his heart. Zach died in a car accident several years ago. But I believe that he is standing before the Lord with that 99% baptism. but I think about that because it reminds me of him. We had a really special relationship, and I think he really thought I was kidding around. He thought I was playing with him or pulling a prank on him or a joke on him or something. And we laughed about that until I think we even laughed about it the last day that I saw him before he got in a car accident. But it just brings me back to that moment, not of sadness, but of joy, that it's just one of those moments in ministry that you got to laugh at yourself and move forward. And those happen to me quite often because I'm an epitome of try hard. But anyway, if you're in John, just turn to the John chapter 10, and we'll be reading 11 through 30 on those verses. All right, the I Am series, we have gone over several topics with that, I Am the Bread of Life, I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door is what we covered last week. And we're kind of going to jump off of that topic. That last week and this week were very similar because in both weeks we're talking about a shepherd. We're just talking about different aspects of a shepherd. Last week a shepherd is somebody that lays down on the door to protect the sheep. And this week we're going to discuss seven truths about the good shepherd that we find in this scripture. And so let's read John chapter 10, verses 11 through 30. It says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one possessed, one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and know that I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And in this scripture, you see yet again Jesus using the words I am in reference to the personal name of God that we found in the Old Testament. Yet again, you see Jesus taking a stand against the religious people of that night. And if you were to read one more verse, you see yet again the Jews pick up stones to try to stone Jesus and put him to death for the words that he says. Because they don't like to hear things that make them uncomfortable. They don't like to hear things that Jesus is speaking plainly. I think one of the most humorous part of this is Jesus plainly points out that he's the Messiah, and yet halfway through that verse, they come to him and say, quit keeping us in suspense. Are you him or not? And he's like, I told you. I've told you that I'm him. I've performed the miracles. I've done everything that I've done testifies unto who I am, and you don't believe me. And he said, why? Because you are not my sheep. What Jesus is saying at that point, he's saying, you will never believe because you'll never be part of my sheep. It's not something that he stopped from happening. It's something inside themselves they were not allowed to let themselves go and believe Jesus to be the Messiah. So I want us to go through this scripture, and we're going to jump around from verse to verse just because that's how my brain works. And we're going to examine this. This is going to be similar, more like my preaching of old, where we just break this down verse by verse and go through it. Heather asked me a couple weeks ago, she said, why, when you became the pastor, did we start going all over the Bible? You've always been in one spot. And ever since you've been the pastor, we've been chasing you around the Bible. I said, I don't know. It's just what God wanted us to do. So today we're going to get a throwback to the way I normally do things, and we're just going to look at these scriptures. So if you look at verse 29, let's reread it. He says, my Father who has given them to me. That's how verse 29 starts out. The first truth that we see about the Good Shepherd is the Good Shepherd sees us as gifts from the Father. Now, I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about all the mistakes that you made. I'm assuming that you've made mistakes. I'm assuming that you, like myself, are sinners that make mistakes and do things we shouldn't do often. I want you to think about all those mistakes. And I want you to think about what it cost for those mistakes. Think about Christ. Think about the sacrifice that he made. Think about the death on the cross. Think about having to leave heaven and come to this wretched earth. Think about all the things that he did for us, yet he still saw us as a gift. To Christ, we are not a burden. To Christ, we are not frustrating. To Christ, we are not all the things that we might say or all the ways that we might describe ourselves. We are not those things to Christ. He sees us as a gift from the Father. How amazing is that? Because I'll be honest with you, there are moments in my life when I could be considered a gift. Right, Heather? Like, Heather just walks around the house just thinking about what a great gift she got on that day those many years ago. But most of the time, in most of the existence of my life, I am not a gift. I'm a burden or something, an aggravation. I tell Heather my spiritual gift or my love language is aggravation. Just because she doesn't speak it that way doesn't mean it's wrong for me to speak love that way. But for Christ to look at me and say, "You are a gift from my Father," it answers the question I've always had, is why would Jesus die for me? It's because Jesus doesn't see me the way I see myself. He sees me as this wonderful gift from his Father. Now, I was looking at this to help us understand, if we're going to be gifts of the Father, first we got to be sheep of the Father, right? And I wanted to go over quickly identifying marks of Christ's sheep. All right, number one, he said, "My sheep hear my voice." Question for you today, are you hearing the voice of God? There's more than lostness that keeps us from hearing the voice of God. Sin can come into our life. Separation can come into our life. My youth pastor used to say, our relationship with God is like a dock and a boat. If you don't tie a boat to the dock, what happens? It floats away. The dock didn't move, right? Y'all agree with that? The boat's the one that moved. How come every time we get away from God, we think God moved? We think God's the one that's left us when we don't realize that he's standing still. We're the ones that slowly drift away. Number one, my sheep hear my voice. To hear God's voice, you know what you have to do? You have to be in an intimate relationship with God. You have to be close to him. There's a story in the Old Testament where, this mighty earthquake comes by and the voice of God wasn't in it. And then this mighty storm comes by, shakes the foundations of the mountain, and yet God's voice wasn't in it. And then in this quietness of the moment, the still small whisper comes through, and the voice of God spoke through it. If God speaks through whispers, we got to be close to him to be able to hear him. Number two, he says, not only do my sheep hear my voice, he says, my sheep know me. To know God is to do the will of God. You ever had somebody ask you, "Hey, do you know this person?" And you don't know how to answer because you know the person, but you don't know the person. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you heard the name, or you're familiar with the person, but this deep, intimate knowledge of that person, you could not vouch for them, or you couldn't put your name behind them, or you couldn't do all these things, but you know the person. When we talk about Christ's sheep knowing him, we're talking about this deep, intimate things in which we look at things in this world, and we know what God wants us to do. In every aspect of my life, I know what God wants me to do. Now, I don't always do what God wants me to do. I don't always follow through with the knowledge. But for the most part, because of my relationship with Christ, I know Christ and the things that make him happy and the things that disappoint him, the things that he wants me to do, the things that he doesn't want me to do. The problem is not knowing him. It's knowing him in such a way that you want to follow him and you want to do the things that he wants you to do. And the third thing, he says, my sheep follow me. It's this deep knowledge of God that we don't just learn it, but we start following through with it. And that's how you identify a sheep that belongs to Christ. Now, there's identifying markers of lost sheep too, though they don't believe and they don't see God at work around them. And I'm sad to say that there are days in my life where I identify with the lost sheep more than identify with Christ's sheep. But we've got to get to a point and place and time where we understand that we're a gift of God. And just because we're a gift of God doesn't mean we don't have work to do, we don't have things to do, we don't have actions to take. We got to become the sheep that looks like it identifies with Christ and not a lost sheep. Second thing you see there is verse 14 and 15. It says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." The second thing that we see here is this shepherd knows us intimately. And I think that's kind of lost on us sometimes. Now, we know it, and sometimes we think about it, but the fact of the matter is that it says in there, how many times? I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, which is fully, I know my Father, so he knows him fully, and he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ knows us completely. God's word tells us that he knows the number of hair on our heads. That's easier for some in this room than others. But the fact of the matter is that God cares enough about us that he would know exactly how many hairs he put on our head or left on our head for us aging people. He knows how many freckles I got on my left hand. He knows how many freckles I got on my right hand. God knows me intimately. And the thing about this is sometimes we pretend like God doesn't know us. You ever been upset with God? Ever been mad? And then you want to pray to God like you're not mad? You want to pretend like everything's good and that you're fine with what God's doing in and around you, or what the trial or the struggle that you're going through. You're going to pray to God like he doesn't know that you're mad at him. My God knows me intimately. If he knows the number of hairs on my head, he knows how angry I am. He knows when I'm frustrated with the situation. He knows when I'm at the end of my rope. He knows when I don't know what's going on. Christ knows those things. And you know the most amazing part of that? Because he knows us that way, it means he can lead and minister us more effectively because of the depth of knowledge that he has for us. I'm a firm believer that if you're mad, you should talk to God about being mad. When Zach passed away in that car accident, I had a conversation with the Lord. I don't understand. He's 16, 17 years old. He's a good kid. Wanted to be a dentist. I don't understand, God. Why? Why would you do this? You know what happened 2 months after Zach died? My niece and nephew died. And I was angry. I was hurt. And I was upset. And for the longest time, I prayed like God didn't know those things. But the moment I started being honest and real with God, and I started expressing my heart that he already knew, my relationship with him grew. My love for him grew. His grace inside of me and the Holy Spirit around me made things not easier but bearable. And I learned at that moment that God can give me exactly what I need exactly when I need it, and it's based off his deep understanding of who I am. You see, the Good Shepherd knows us intimately. Look at verse 11. It says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And if you go back over to verse 15, he says, even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd sacrifices for us. Now, it's easy to focus on the cross. It's easy to focus on the ultimate sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice of our sins that happened upon the cross. But I want us to look at the complete life of Christ. Think about this. When Christ left heaven for earth, it was for us. It wasn't for himself. It wasn't for his glory. It was for our salvation. When Christ was born in a manger, it was for us. It was not for him. It was not for his glory. It was for us. When Christ experienced temptation in the wilderness, it wasn't for himself. It wasn't for God's glory. It was for us. When Christ allowed himself to be arrested, it was for us. When Christ was beaten and whipped and had his beard ripped out of his face and punched in the face, people mocking him, it wasn't for himself. It was for us. When Christ was condemned to death, it wasn't for himself. It was for us. When Christ hung on the cross, it was for us. It wasn't for himself. It brings to light what he says in John chapter 10, verse 18. He said, no one has taken away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Nobody took Christ's life from me. He said, I have the authority to lay it down. And he said, I have the authority to pick it up. And praise God, he did. After 3 days in that tomb, he picked it up. He defeated hell. He defeated sin. He offered us salvation that will last to the end of the age. good shepherd sacrifices for us. It wasn't a one-time sacrifice on the cross, even though that brought our atonement of our sin. It was a constant sacrifice in which he gave up himself to be more like us, to identify with us, but remain perfect and be that perfect atoning sacrifice. Verse 16 tells us this, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one with the shepherd. The next thing that you see there is the good shepherd seeks out his sheep. Praise God for this. You see, in verse 3, the sheep are called by his name, which are the same sheep who enter through the door in verse 9. Those who accept Christ as Lord and Savior are the ones that entered through the door. We talked about that last week. That's the sheep that he's talking about. But Christ didn't stand back and wait for us to blindly find him. Listen to what he said again in verse 16. He said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. He didn't say, I must wait for them also. He didn't say, I must tarry here until they figure this out. He said, no, I must go and bring them back with me. I don't know about you, but that's my salvation experience in which Christ intervened into my life and brought me to the Father, not him standing around waiting for me to figure things out. As a youth pastor, I've heard over and over and over again kids telling me that, you know what, I got to get my life right, and once I get some things figured out, then I'm going to give my life. No, that's not how it works. Christ finds you, Christ calls you, and you become one of his. Now, there's sanctification, there's righteousness, and there's this process that begins at that moment, but we're not talking about salvation. Because he goes to us. And I'm telling you this morning, if Christ comes to you, don't turn him away. Because we're not guaranteed he'll come back again or again or again or again. Because he seeks us out. He finds us. He looks for us. And then he delivers us to the flock. Verse 14 tells us this. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. My own sheep know me. It goes on to say in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What I see there is the good shepherd has sealed us. He said, I know them, and they know me. And I think that's a knowledge that never goes away. Knowledge that never abandons. Knowledge that never gets where we want. You see, what he does, he contrasts the difference between a shepherd and a hired hand. And he says, I'm a shepherd, I'm not a hired hand. And he said, in there, the shepherd owns the sheep, whereas a hired hand does not. And so his shepherd has this deep care for sheep, whereas a hired hand does not. Me and Heather, probably the dumbest thing we ever did was we rented a house. We rented our house out. So we bought this house when we were very young. We spent years remodeling this house, like living in a bedroom and working in the rest of the house. We had to put the floors down so that Addison, because Addison started crawling, we didn't want to crawl on plywood, so we had to borrow some money just to put the floors down and get it done. Now, we get called up here, and we can't sell the house. It's the middle of the, y'all remember 2008 was like, we just couldn't sell the house. And so what we did, we put it up for rent. You know what I found out about renters? They don't care about the house the same way that you care about a house. They don't care about the amount of time that I spent sanding and mudding those sheetrock walls. All they cared about is hanging stuff on them. And it seemed like in every spot possible. It looked like she had a grid pattern of pictures across every wall. They didn't care of how long it took me to lay those floors down. They just chose not to mop them or clean them. They didn't care about how long it took us to save up for the stove and the oven and the refrigerator and the dishwasher. They just utterly destroyed it. It's the difference in somebody that owns something and somebody that just uses something. And that's what Christ is saying here about a shepherd versus a hired hand. Is that he has this deep longing and ownership of us. Causes him to care more deeply for us than we could care for ourselves. He goes on to say, a shepherd is fully invested where a hired hand does a job to get paid. Anybody in here that's ever supervised or worked with some people, y'all know the difference. People that's there for a paycheck and that's there because they love it. So the shepherd abandons everything for the sheep, and a hired hand will calculate the risk to decide if it's worth sacrificing for. See, Christ cares for us because we are always and will always be his, and he will never leave us or forsake us. The same concern he had for me at my salvation day is the same concern he has for me today. Which takes us to verse 28. He says, I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. The good shepherd gives us eternal life. Now, here's the amazing thing about this statement. I think it needs to be said. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he grants us eternal life. He doesn't say, okay, Tony, you accepted me as your Lord and Savior. If you continue to work out your faith, you continue to grow, and you become a Sunday school teacher and a deacon and a godly father and a godly husband, at that point, you gain eternal life. No, that's not how it works. The moment Tony accepted him, and I don't know where Tony was when he accepted him. I don't know what his life was like when he accepted him. At that moment, he embraced eternal life. And if he had never become a deacon, if he'd never become a Sunday school teacher, if he was never the father that he was supposed to be or the husband that he was supposed to be, he has the same grasp of eternity than he did because he did all those things. We're not working on levels of heaven, folks. We have eternal life or we don't have eternal life. Jesus is our Lord and Savior, or Jesus is not our Lord and Savior. The Good Shepherd has come to offer us eternal life and offer it to us immediately. He's not waiting for you to work it out. He's not waiting for you to earn it. You're not building a bigger house. And be honest with you, my translation, the way I read it, it's not about houses, it's about rooms. We're all going to live in the same house, God's house. It's just different rooms. I don't have no mansion up there. If I was earning something in heaven, I would be living under a rock. Because I don't deserve a, you think I deserve a mansion in heaven? You haven't been watching me long. If you think I deserve a mansion in heaven, no, all I deserve is a let out of room in God's house. And I don't even deserve that. But eternal life is mine because when I was 15 years old, Christ came to me. And I accepted him. He knocked on that door and I answered. That's the only thing I did. And he's been working in my life for sanctification and for growth for a long time. But I've never earned anything that God's given me. Which takes us to verse 28 and verse 29. And I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. When people ask me what reason do I have for the confidence of my faith, I think that verse right there does a pretty good job. If I rest in the hand of the Almighty God, you tell me on this earth what is powerful enough to take me from his hand. Tell me at what strength that we have to be able to take something out of the hand of God. And it says here that once we are in Christ's hand, nothing will take away, snatch, or remove us from that. I stand here today and say, if you have eternal life, you will have eternal life from here to eternity. There is no sin, there is no choice, there is no person, there is no action that can cause you to remove from the hand of God. You know, in the unforgivable sin, we always talk about that. You know what the unforgivable sin is? Not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Denying his deity is the only thing that keeps us from heaven. It's the only thing that causes us to not have salvation, not to lose salvation, but to not have salvation, because to rest in Jesus Christ, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. But everybody else who believes in Jesus Christ is in the hand of the Father and will rest there through eternity. Seven truths about Christ being the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sees us as a gift from the Father. The Good Shepherd knows us intimately. The Good Shepherd sacrifices for us. The Good Shepherd seeks out his sheep. The Good Shepherd has sealed us. The Good Shepherd gives us eternal life. And the Good Shepherd has a hold of us. And that hold is not loosening based off the things that you do. A couple questions to end today. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend the rest of eternity? Are you secure in the hand of God? Are you concerned with that? Number two, are you in an intimate, close relationship with God? Was there ever a point in your life that you were closer to the Lord? If there was, there's this little thing called repentance. We just fall on our face before God, say, God, I'm sorry where I've allowed myself to go. I ask that you forgive me of my sin, reestablish me, and allow me to start going again. Now stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.